The blue lapis stone, so charged with light and truth, can be present only with a truthful being. That's an interesting idea, isn't it? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, with the thought for today. The blue lapis, L-A-P-I-S, stone, so charged with light and truth, can only be present with a truthful being. Think about that. How many things can only be present with a truthful being? How many things can only exist with a truthful being? Remember Diogenes, as he was taking his red and green lantern around looking for someone who spoke the truth, someone who was honest, and he didn't find anybody. His lantern always stayed red, but I guess it was red with him too. So he must have been a dishonest man, because it should have been green with him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. But he was looking for an honest man, and what does that tell you? You should start with yourself. If he starts with himself and he goes into the presence of anyone who is not truthful, then it should turn red. But if it's always red, even with himself, then he's not a truthful man. He's not an honest man. And you see, there's so many who are going around judging others. They're saying others are bad and others are this and others are that. And they themselves have so many faults. They have so many errors in their own constitution, in their own makeup, in their own thinking, that anyone they speak unkindly about, they far outshine them in talent in being, you know, bad. And it is true. It is true. These are called rednecks, you know, people who believe that what they believe is right and everybody else is wrong. And it's very interesting, very interesting. It says that the new Pope is going to stand very firm on the policies of the Church, which have been upheld over the years and have not been changed. And he has been very firm on them during Pope Pius' reign too, Pope John, that is. And that's why John didn't make all the big changes that could have been done. Now we have this continuing conservatism, and that's fine. You know what you're dealing with, and it's great. But one thing that I really liked that the Pope Benedict said, he said, we will not compromise.
Mm-hmm.
We believe what we have, we believe what we teach, and we will not compromise with anyone. We will only stand up for the truth, and that's all we'll ever stand up for. We will not compromise. And the truth, as far as he's concerned, is the teaching of the Catholic Church, which is, of course, very honorable and a proper thing to do. And it's interesting, they just stand up for it. They don't go around broadcasting it. They just live it. That's their policy, and they live it. They don't say, you have to live it, you have to live it, and you're a sinner, or you're bad if you don't. They just say, that's our policy, and if you're a Catholic, this is how you live. And how do we live? Are we this blue lapis stone that we wear around our neck, and it is always in our presence because we are a truthful being? And whenever a truthful being comes near us, we immediately respond to them in harmony. And when an untruthful being comes near us, the stone cannot stand to be in their presence. I don't know what the stone does, but maybe it gets angry or something. But think about that. That is basically what we teach. We teach that what we see outside of us is what we are inside of us. And if inside of us, as human beings, as divine beings, we're all the same, we're all perfect, we're all fantastic. But as human beings, in the role we choose to play right now, as playing this role of human beings, what we are doing is we are creating people around us who are fabulous and who are great and who are just like us. And if anything should slip through because we have a change in our consciousness for a moment, and then we look at it, oops, hey, how did that happen? How did that happen that this person came into my world who is not harmonious with my thinking? Ooh, my thinking must have been off base for a moment. And it does. Our thinking gets off base for a moment because we're in a world which has what's called race consciousness. That's the dominant thought of the majority of the people. Now, we think that we have no power in that condition. We have no power over race consciousness. Well, we don't. We only have power over ourselves. And when we ourselves are what we term perfect or good or fine or you know, whatever beautiful qualities we ascribe to ourselves, if we will ascribe those same qualities to the world, not looking at the world for proof of it, not looking at the world for evidence of it, not looking at the world for support of it, you know, just look at the world and see it as beautiful as you are, which is all you can do, really, then the world will be that way. You say, but what if it, it cannot. If you are perfect and you look at the perfect world, you can only see a perfect world. Now, let's just use the statement of Jesus. Did he see a perfect world? Why did he see a perfect world? Because he was perfect in his consciousness. And everywhere he looked, he saw himself. And when people came to him and wanted to be healed or something, he would say, what wouldst thou of me? You know, I see you already whole and perfect, doing just exactly what you want to do. I don't judge what you do or how you do it. I just see you doing whatever you want to do, whatever pleases you. Now, if you want to change your program, then that's up to you too. Change your program. Begin seeing the world differently because you are different. Now, if ever we have, if ever we have any judgment in ourselves, you know, if ever we have any possession, if ever we have any being touched by the circumstances, we're dead. We haven't got a leg to stand on because we are touched by circumstances that we created. Now, if we see something negative going on in the world, then we merely recreated, not recreated, we merely created in our image and in our likeness, as the divine did in the beginning, remember? Now, how can we create a world at war in our image and likeness? Well, we don't stop reading something, we don't start reading something, we don't stop looking at something, we don't start looking at something. We just put in our mind that I am peace and all the world is peace. And there is no evidence of the world not being peace to a person who is full of peace. If you are a rich man, you don't see poor people, you know. You may see them, but they don't touch you. you're untouched by them. And if you're a poor person, and you look at rich people, you don't see them. All you do is see them unkind and with a lot of problems like you have. But when you look at yourself and you see that you are independently wealthy, you're glorious, you're fantastic, you're magnificent. When you look at yourself and you see that, then that's what you see all around you. That's what you see everywhere. And that's what you want to do. You want to create your world exactly as you are. And so are you this lapis stone that with so charged with light and truth that it can only be present with a truthful being? You are, is that who you are? This lapis stone? Are you truth itself? Are you Diogenes with that lantern that turns green with honesty and red with dishonesty? Who are you? Really, you are both of those things. You are the lantern and you are the lapis stone. But you see, you are totally the lapis stone. You are totally this stone. And this stone does not necessarily have substance about it. But you are totally this stone. You have wrapped yourself in this stone, if you will, in this consciousness. You have wrapped yourself in this consciousness of truth, of purity and goodness and right action and love and harmony and everything. And that's all you know. Because now you have a set of glasses on, if you will, your eyes. Your eyes can only behold what you are around you. This lapis stone can only behold what it is around it. And it cannot allow itself to be present where untruthfulness is. And the lantern, on the other hand, was dualistic. It had both the ability to detect people who were dishonest and people who were honest. And it was always red. So something was wrong there. Surely someone on the face of the earth is honest. And it should have started out with Diogenes, right?
Right.
So, you see, it starts out with us. We don't need any lantern. We don't need any lapis stone because we are that detector. And we detect only ourselves. If Diogenes were to walk around with a green lantern, he would find only honest people. If you were to wear a lapis stone, and such a stone exists, you know, if you were to wear a lapis stone, you would only see truth everywhere you go. And truth is a tenuous word to use because it is depending upon what you think is truth or what somebody else thinks is truth. Now, it is true for you that your husband is the most wonderful guy in the world. It is not true for somebody else that your husband is the most wonderful guy in the world for them. You see? But they might like to have it be that way. They might like to think, hey, he is a great guy. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have him as a husband, you know? And you see, this is how it goes. We are what we are inside of ourselves. We reflect outwardly what we are inside of ourselves, and we don't attract to ourselves, but we create outside of ourselves what we are. Now, the Bible says, those who believe in themselves, those who believe in their divinity, those who believe in God, 10,000 may fall on one side and 1,000 on the other, but nothing shall come nigh unto them, because they don't even see it. They don't even see it. They don't even know it. Now, in the life and teachings of the masters of the Far East, Baird Spaulding with Emil was going through this field that was on fire. Well, now, why was the field on fire? Because Baird Spaulding thought it would be. Do you think that it would have bothered Emil if there was a fire someplace? He wouldn't have even seen it. He would have just walked right through there untouched. You say, well, that's nonsense. Yes, it is. Nonsense for people who believe there's fire. But people who believe that fire is cool wet moss are untouched. Oh, come on, Herb, really? Yep. Yep. You see, what do you see? Do you see the fire as cool wet moss? No, you do not. You see this substance here as cool wet moss. You call it fire and it's hot. You follow me? You cannot say, I walk on fire. You walk on cool, wet moss. That's what you do. That's all you do. Yeah, that's all you do. That's all you know how to do is walk on cool, wet moss. And that's all you want to do is walk on cool, wet moss. Do you know anybody who wants to walk on fire?
No.
They want to walk on cool, wet moss. And that's what they're doing, is they're walking on cool, wet moss. Rex has come to me with a ball saying, I want to play, Dad. And I put my hand flat in front of him and I say, that's a no. Right now it's a no. You play at another time, see? And so that's just the way it is. You see, I see you sitting here delightfully enjoying my lectures, thinking that this is the most cool thing that you could ever experience, listening to your dad talk. Isn't that right, Rex? Yes. Yeah, you can sit down. You can sit down, Rex. Yes, you may. Mm-hmm. And you see, this is what I create. I create you enjoying my talks. I create everyone enjoying my talks and finding them a lot of fun. But can you handle that sort of thing? Can you handle knowing you're responsible for anything in the world? And no matter how you complain, you are. Anything. Ellen said, oh my God. Brian was working up there at the swimming pool and he was using the weed whacker, and it whacked a stone right into the glass of the sliding glass door in the retreat, and it came to smithereens. And Ellen said, and then she says, well, did you clean it up? And so on. That's not the question. Why did Ellen have in her consciousness that using the weed whacker could ever break a window? Because that's what they advertise.
That's what he said this morning.
Ho, ho, ho. Now you know, don't you? And all of a sudden, he put that in your consciousness because you created him putting it there, and you believed it. Now, isn't that silly? Isn't that absolutely 100% silly? But we do those things to ourselves, don't we? Now, did Brian break that window or did you? That was you, love. And we are responsible for everything in our life. Every attitude, every experience, and everything that goes on. And you say, well, why do some people have these? Because they want it. You know? Be careful. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter what we wish for or what we desire. As Jesus said, ask and ye shall receive. It didn't matter what it was. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it'll be opened unto you. These are neat statements. They're eternal positive statements, and they've been proven true through psychology over the years. It's really fascinating. It's really fascinating. There are many people doing things with the brain, trying to make the brain more beneficial to them. And we go back to Mesmer. Remember Mesmer? And he used magnets, didn't he? And so we've been coming down through the centuries now, years, with magnets. And I have a magnet coat that someone gave me as a gift. And that's fine. I haven't seen any change in me, but it may have that I don't even know about. But they have a new magnet they're using in psychiatric hospitals now. It's on a paddle. And it's a very highly charged magnet. And they put it on the frontal lobe of somebody who is experiencing distress or someone who is experiencing depression, you know, deep depression and suicidal things and stuff like that. And this balances the right and left lobes with this magnetic gadget. And it's not plugged into anything. It's just something that is magnetized and then put over the head. And they've found 80% results in balancing people who have serious troubles with their brain. Now, fascinating, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's all in our thinking. It's all in our head. Now, why don't they start teaching people to balance their brains? Why don't they start teaching people to think about their brain as a very wonderful tool, a very wonderful instrument, and that they're in charge of it, not their brain. Oh, you weary my brain. No, nothing wearies your brain. It's just you're tired of listening, that's all. Your brain could go on forever. Your brain has no capacity for weariness. You know that. And you know what another thing is? Your brain has no sensation. When they operate on their brain, and they do things with your brain, they don't really need anesthesia, but they need the anesthesia so that they can cut the hole in your head to get down to your brain through your skull. And that could be a traumatic experience if you're sitting there wide awake while it's going on, like the tree planers did back in the prehistoric time. So, you see, we are quite fascinating people. We are quite fascinating. Just like the lapis stone is inharmonious with a liar around, and so is the red lamp of Diogenes, and so is you. So is you. So are you. When you don't take charge of your brain and tell it exactly what you want it to do, how you want it to do, and where you want it to do it. You see, your brain is ready to go to work for you whenever you choose to have it go to work for you. Are you ready for it to go to work for you?
Yes.
When?
Now.
Good. My God. Okay. Have a lovely evening, lovely day, lovely life. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.